And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Oh, hey, y'all. Happy holidays.
Exactly.
Fuck the holidays.
That jingle bell is starting to get a little aged.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah, that will be the end of the jingle bells.
All right.
As we know it. And this will be the end of our holiday series, as we know it.
Keep adding it. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. We don't die. We multiply.
Thank you, Travis.
He spelled cunt.
So we're talking about Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes.
The bulk of which takes place around New Year's Eve and the following days. So it's topical. It's relevant. It's now. Except not, because it doesn't age very well. But we'll get to that momentarily. A little bit of background, which I forgot my notes, but I memorized everything, so we're all good there. Came out June 25th, 1993. Grossed $223 million worldwide box office.
God damn.
Adjust that for inflation real quick.
It's a lot of money.
Oh, good.
I'd say, especially, I mean, right now with inflation, probably $350 million. I mean, it was a hit.
Oh, way more than that.
Probably 400, 500.
That's got America's Sweethearts.
Oh, yeah. That's $1 billion. Fuck Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
That thing's and Ryan Meggs.
Yeah. Which we'll get into the idea of how that movie would do if it were released today. We'll get into
the Meg.
The Meg 2, which was awesome. And they're planning a Meg 2. So,
already had a Meg 2?
I think they've had the one, but they're working on getting Dwight Schrute back for part 2. So, what was I saying? Okay, so yeah, $223 million is one of the biggest hits of that year. I put my notes that it really started Tom Hanks' peak of his career because
When was Big?
88.
88, yeah.
That's where he really became a serious actor with that one. That was his first Academy Award, was Big. This year, 93, he had this movie, which was the biggest comedy of the year. And then he won the Academy Award for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia was phenomenal.
Yeah. Playing the first actor to win an Academy Award for Suffering from AIDS, you know, first homosexual character to win an Academy Award. A lot of milestones. That was a big landmark. The next year, he won for Forrest Gump. So
and then nominated the next year after for Apollo
13.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had a stretch where he was nominated like every year.
Yeah.
I'm looking at 1993 movies just to see what the competition was.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Not good competition. Like this did not have to do much to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the notable ones are In the Line of Fire.
Good movie.
Cliffhanger.
Yes.
Good. Another good movie.
That.
Hey, you know, Out on the Mountainside.
Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, Funky Butt Lovin'.
Get fucked.
Gaddenhosa.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh my God.
That's a phenomenal movie.
That's a hell of a lineup.
Yeah.
It's honestly really bad. Popular 1993 movies include Gettysburg, Falling Down, Sliver.
That's with Sharon Stone, right? Am I right?
Sure.
Any coochie shots?
Robert De Niro's A Bronx Tale.
Oh my God, yeah. That was dog shit.
I remember that movie. Chaz Palminteri.
Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
I like that movie. That was good.
Yeah. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And one thing that we've podcasted before, Tombstone.
Tombstone.
Ooh.
One of the better 90s westerns to come out. So.
Yeah. Oh.
So yeah, Sleepless in Seattle was one of the biggest movies of that year. I think the biggest movie of the year was Jurassic Park, 93.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow. And the crux of the story is Tom Hanks is a widower. The movie begins with him burying his wife, opening scene, and having the talk with his son about how, you know, mommy's gone away, yada, yada. And so basically, he goes through the stages of grief and decides to change his scenery, which is common for people to do in grieving. They want to move. They want to leave.
He was a little harsh to his coworker, right?
That's the fucking thing I was going to say. Mm-hmm. He was just very aggressive.
His coworker was just like, hey, man,
here's some help. And he just starts throwing down cards.
He's like, I've gotten enough fucking cards for my mental health.
And it was like, wow.
Like,
it's like, dude, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
The conversation around mental health has gotten a lot better since then.
Yes.
But him snapping those cards off reminded me in Vegas when they hand out like the porn cards on the sidewalks.
I was like, man, how many cards is he keeping? Like, are you not throwing these cards away?
Yeah. You just have them in your pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just burning them on other people.
Clearly,
he's like, I'm going to hold these in my pocket until I can go off.
You've done this a dozen times. He was like, I'm not going to add this card. This card's one too many. I'm going to go off on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his coworker's like, you should take vacation.
Yeah. So that's one thing I put in my review is it does have a pretty good depiction of grief and like people can be angry. You know, the different stages, you know, the cliches you hear about, they can be angry, they can be withdrawn, they can be yada yada. But it's common for people to completely redecorate their house after they lose somebody, like top to bottom. Or it's common for them to move, change jobs, do drastic things. So definitely kind of fits that model of how he acts. But in the aftermath of that, he moves to Seattle. And then we interchange with Meg Ryan, living in Baltimore. And, you know, she's a journalist, I believe. She works for a paper and is engaged to a doofus played by Bill Pullman. Bless his heart. I like him.
I don't think he's a doofus. I think he's a perfect great. Yeah. He's a perfect guy.
He's a great catch.
He's honestly. He is a catch. They call it worth. I mean, he's too good for her. He really is.
He is.
Yeah.
She does not deserve him.
No, but again, she's a hoe bag.
We'll get to that momentarily.
Yeah. Dirty, stinky trollop.
Ho, fo, show.
So Tom Hanks' son calls into a late night radio show, kind of like the Frasier type scenario, late night call in shrink show. I
love. Not the only tie in with Frasier.
Yeah, exactly. And so he says he's worried about his dad. You know, 18 months later, this is 18 months later, living in Seattle, worried about his dad. He's not sleeping. He's not moving on.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. We had to have that 18 months so that, like, they could bone later.
Yeah.
So everybody would be okay.
It had to be a fresh amount of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So everybody's like, yes, let's get stanky down there, and it was down south.
And it was a bizarre.
Talking about genitals. Intercourse.
Thank you, Travis.
Bumping uglies.
Smashing pissers.
Mm-hmm. One foot in the soap dish doing the dirty.
So basically the son says
not in the boots.
You know, and the radio host is like, you know, it's been, are you dating anybody, yada yada, which is like, I think time frame of things, losing a spouse, you know, she kind of says it pressure him, but it's like, you know, 18 months is kind of like a year is probably like the threshold of when most people would even think about dating again.
Yeah.
So, kind of unusual. He, you know, goes through his spiel about how much he loved her, how it was kismet, how it was like this big predestined thing that they were meant to be together and the love that they had, and yada, yada, yada. Millions of people hear it. Millions of people are moved by it, moved by him and his story.
A weird amount of people are moved by it.
Yes.
It was just a million little things.
Were there like
added up that we were meant to be together?
Two radio stations in the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Everyone listened to him?
Yeah. One of them was Rush Limbaugh. So you can imagine that this was your alternative. So Meg Ryan's listening to it, and she gets swept up by him and slowly develops a fixation on him and decides that they need to meet and test whether or not the chemistry that they could have could be that same magic predestined thing. And that's the bulk of the movie, is them trying to push the boundaries of serendipity and see if she's seeing if they're meant to be together. So yeah, that's the crux of the movie. It became a huge hit. And I have my thoughts, but I want to start with you guys, and then I'll weigh in at the end. So, Trav, what did you think?
I always get this mixed up with You've Got Mail.
Please tell me you watch You've Got Mail instead.
Well, I do. Awesome. I do anyway. And my favorite line from You've Got Mail, not that you asked, was, I hope your mango's ripe.
F-O-X.
Yeah. Yeah, this was definitely creepy watching this today, seeing her basically stalk him for a bulk of the movie. I really wanted there to be, you know, if it would take place today, she would not be the only gal up there that thought that they had like a connection and it'd track him down. Mm-hmm. Like she would have shown up and be like, oh my God, it's you. And then like three other gals that are also super creepy would have shown up. Like, yeah. No, it's me. It's me. It's me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. The, one of the funniest people in it was Jonah's girlfriend, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, the one who kept like acronyming stuff?
Yeah.
She was ahead of her time.
Yeah.
For what?
She like, too cool for
she
school.
Basic.
Give me like hit me with like a WTF. Like You're current. You're up to speed.
Oh, and you know they were hooking up in that little pod.
Oh yeah.
And they walked in and they were like, hey Dad, if you listen to this, I'm like, where are your pants?
And it's like, and she's like,
shut there's a reason that album is over his lap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, shut the door. It's like, he's 8 years old. Shut the door.
Yeah.
His son's got it together. Son's got game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just wants his dad out of the house so he can spend more time with his lady friend.
And and the babysitter, Shaquiqua. What was her name? Contenza?
Oh, man, Clarice.
Clarice, yeah.
Clarice?
Yeah.
Which I said this out loud, watched movies. Like, after Silence of the Lambs, no one's allowed to be named Clarice in the movie anymore because it ruins the whole name.
Right. Yeah.
Like, hello, Clarice.
There's a few names that have been ruined.
Clarice looked like Anne Hathaway, I thought.
It was, yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
She was in there a lot for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
She was just there.
For someone with no lines and no influence on the plot, she was just kind of standing around a lot.
Terrible babysitter, I thought.
Yeah.
So, great supporting cast. A lot of people you'd recognize who became famous later. Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Obviously from tons of movies. Independence Day, While You Were Sleeping.
Spaceballs.
Rom-com. Spaceballs. David Hyde Pierce, the brother from Frasier. Rosie O'Donnell, who apparently did some talk shows. The View, that's a thing. There's apparently something called The View.
Did she do The View?
I don't think she was View.
You're thinking of Whoopi.
Whoopi was on
Whoopi
there.
Whoopi or Barb?
No, I think Rosie might have done The View.
She may have done The View. I think Paula Abdul was on one of those shows, but I can't be sure about that.
I think we're outside of the demographic.
Yep. Yes, we are. We're outside of our own demographic with that.
Yeah.
Outside of ourselves. So, yeah, I noted a lot of famous people. Rob Reiner's in there. I mean,
Rob Reiner, yeah.
All the big speaking parts are famous people. Even the one guy that was in Titanic is the best friend or whatever. And Rita Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
The shipbuilder.
The ship, yeah.
You know, she's made of iron, sir. She can sink, and she will. Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, plays like his sister-in-law, I think, or best friend's
sister.
Sister, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to have your wife playing your sister.
It is weird.
Or vice versa. I'm not sure which would be creepier, but they're both pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah, Parker Posey. They got caught in the elevator or, you know, dating Tom Hanks. This might have been You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. But no,
what about Dave Chappelle? Like his buddy?
That was Half-Baked.
That was also You've Got Mail.
That was
and
Half-Baked.
And Bob Saget, not Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I think I watched You've Got Mail.
And swap out Greg Kinnear for Bill Pullman. I mean, you kind of got the similar cast. It's the same template.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Rob Reiner's, and they might have swapped out like George Lucas or somebody for Rob Reiner, but you know. Like, hey, you got a problem, man. You shouldn't be dating her.
Travis, any other thoughts?
No. I think I watched You've Got Mail. Tete.
Yeah. It was kind of weird to watch. I mean, we say it wouldn't hold up. It was. It was kind of weird. Like she just flat out stalked him. But and that people do right now. Like she basically had to she hired a private detective. That was kind of weird.
That was super weird.
But she I mean, that's basically what people do with Facebook and Instagram. It's like they just basically try to get as much information as they can out of you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is it cute? Yes. But I was just like, I guess I don't understand how. It did so well.
Yeah.
I guess the time frame, it was amazing.
Who was in it?
Like, that's so crazy. It's like, they're from different worlds. But also, there was that cook that was like really one that was trying to bang him anyway. She's like, I'd give him a New Year's Eve gift. I was like, is she going to rape Tom Hanks?
Random like waitress in the diner?
Yeah. I was like, is she going to bang Tom Hanks? It was I'm kind of uncomfortable with that.
Which we just went to the Tulsa Zoo. I wish I had the audio of the snow leopards on audio where it's like, rawr.
Yeah, get some samples for next time. We'll go full radio
show. I can just hit this button and all of a sudden we got growling. So Sean, or Tay, were you?
Oh, no. I mean, that was pretty much it. It was everything. It was a cute film, I guess. But at the same time, I was like, man, I don't get it. I'd seen it once before, I think, on TV. And so I was like, I don't need to watch it again, but I'll just kind of watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And watched it, and I was like, man, this is not what I remembered.
Yeah.
I was like, this is...
Same.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I'm okay with this. Mm-hmm. It was like, but... Eh. The one thing I did love is, being all this dated stuff was kind of towards the end, they were showing, the map of when Jonah was, going over to, going to Baltimore. And I was like... Wow.
Indiana Jones.
That is 1993.
There was a lot of geography in this.
Mm-hmm. There was.
A surprising amount of geography.
25 states. Mm-hmm. It's just I think there's more than that.
Yeah. I had a similar map in my bedroom.
Also, we got a shout out in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Early on.
Didn't want to date the girl from Tulsa.
Yeah.
It looked like his third grade teacher. Bull-honky. I think that is my third grade teacher.
Yeah. There's a lot of third grade teachers walking around Tulsa. I can verify that.
It's the only grade we teach. We actually stop there.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of true.
Yeah.
At least this a lot of people would check out after third.
That's where I stopped.
That's exactly. That's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah, we stopped at fractions.
Yep. Stop at third grade and go immediately to social media with your opinions.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. I did not think this aged well at all. Mm-mm. There's so much in it that's just this was clearly written by an old man in the 90s. and none of this.
By a woman.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Nora Ephron.
Is that Zac Efron's mom?
No, different spelling, but
huh.
I see why you would think that.
Interesting.
She was a writer for a long time. She did When Harry Met Sally. She goes back to like the 70s writing books and TV and movies. She
was just a very antiquated view on like relationships.
It was.
And it was like, it felt like if ugly people were in this movie, it would feel way creepier.
Yeah.
No, like people were like calling, asking for their address, and his son was just giving it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Rein your son in, for one.
Yeah.
For two,
eight years old.
If it weren't for him, like, seeing her in the airport and being like, oh, I'm dumbstruck with love. Like, this entire movie would be creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, everything she did, she, let's talk about Walter. Walter he was a sweetheart. The only thing that was apparently wrong with him was having allergies.
Yeah, he needed to be in a bubble.
And, like, even her family was like, oh, he's super sweet. Oh, he can't eat strawberries. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he kept buying, like, old key, like, not keyboards, typewriters.
Yeah.
Which was also You Got Mail.
Now.
That's also You Got Mail.
Yeah.
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 Well, I did like the scene where the lady was... All right, I was just going to do a Mrs. Doubtfire joke. Taylor made me giggle. I liked when he put his face in the meringue pie.
You know, Tom Hanks did need to reenact that. That would have been perfect.
Matchmaker.
I think it was a great Tom Hanks vehicle. I mean, he was pretty innocent in all this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I kept thinking, like, honestly, like, I really prefer You've Got Mail. So while I was watching this, I was like, damn. I need to go back and watch that instead.
Yeah.
But I think this had the legs of just because it was America's Sweethearts, like Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, and it was probably like a perfect summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's counter-programmed. If you're somebody who's not in the mood for Jurassic Park for God knows why, it's like this is total opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. But also, why is he telling his son that he's banged 8 girls in college?
Yeah.
To prove like, a point. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
And the little boy's talking about people dying in movies and just like how it's weird. It's like, what kind of stuff is he watching? Yeah. What's going on in his household?
Is she
going
to scratch your back? I was like, what
going on? That's some Alanis Morissette shit.
Yeah.
Also, then they referenced Fatal Attraction, which is like, perfectly valid point.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to get Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
In all actuality, if this movie happened, he would have gotten Fatal Attraction.
Oh, dead bunnies in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What I said to Joe, my wife, was like, switch the genders in this movie. Yes. Switch the characters. And imagine that the Hanks character is the one looking for her and, like, hiring a private detective, which in any generation, no matter the technology, is super creepy. Taking pictures at the restaurant, like, she shows up at his house, looks in his windows, like, spies on him with his kid. It's like, this is bizarre.
And the whole time, Rosie O'Donnell is egging her on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to leave your fiancé.
Yeah.
Get out there and find this random dude from a radio station that just called in.
Yeah.
Get you some strange dick. Which is odd advice coming from Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
Get you some strange
Which
dick.
Is interesting. Two of the confidants in this movie are, you know, gay people playing straight. David Hyde Pierce playing Meg Ryan's brother, and then Rosie O'Donnell playing... Meg Ryan's
editor?
Boss? Confidant? I don't know what exactly her role was.
I don't know.
But that was
ironic. Friend and a confidant.
Yeah.
But it seemed like she was using her newspaper resources to do this.
Exactly.
Like, did she fly out to Seattle for this?
Yeah.
Did she abuse like the search capabilities of like background searches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said like as a return confident. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is like.
But it was all for
love. She crossed a lot of boundaries.
Mm-hmm. But it was all for love.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, if you swap around the genders, this is a true crime story. You know, it's like
100%.
But you know, yeah, like you're saying, it's Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. So, oh no, we have to root for them. It's like they look so cute in the poster. They need to be together.
Look, I'll tell you one thing that's, above board legal wise. Stop it, Taylor. That is true love. True love trumps anything that's illegal. Like, as long as you do it in the name of true love, you can do anything.
That defense always holds up.
Yes,
always. Restraining orders, stalkers. Mm-hmm. It's love, Your Honor.
But yeah. I love her.
That's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Wait, it trumps death. I've seen Princess Bride. He came back for true love.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's, yeah.
Well, technically, he came back for love.
True love.
Yeah.
True love.
If we want to be particular about it.
Spoiler alert for Princess Bride, BT-dubs. He comes back from the dead.
But yeah, there's so much about this movie. I thought, yeah, it's like the woman that Tom Hanks dates. You know, I thought, well, it's kind of the same thing as the Walter character. It's like
she had a bad laugh.
Hey, give her
she
a break.
Had a bad laugh.
Give her a break.
She was designed to be obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. But she's real his squiggly. Son never gave her a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a dick.
And it's a like, huge dick.
And I told Joe, I was like, okay, But Devil's Advocate, Tom Hanks literally tells his son, like, I'm not going to marry her. I'm getting to know her.
He's trying to get a Gluck 9000.
I'm just like, trying her on, see how she fits.
And Twister Wizard.
Literally.
Looking down to the balls like Niagara Falls. I get it. I'm on board.
His son.
Taylor and I are making each other giggle a lot tonight. And I'm wondering if he's already had a few.
That's good.
He got cock blocked for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, to me, I told Joe, I was like, this is healthy. Like, he's moving on. He's dating. You know, he's doing exactly what his son wanted him to do, which he's stepping outside of his comfort area.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like, and Meg Ryan's getting in the way of that. You know, he's doing a healthy thing. I mean, obviously, this woman doesn't have to be the person he marries. You know, that's the thing about dating. And sometimes, like you say, I heard Roger Ebert say that in the movie where it's like, relationships are just like trying on different coats, different clothes. It's like just seeing how they fit you. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to give your nuts a bath.
And if you're short, there's not a lot of clothes that fit you.
Very true.
Those metaphors are a little bit confusing, but I'm going to go along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you walk into like a shoe store, you don't just get the first pair. You try on a few.
I love a good shoe carnival. Yeah.
So anyway, what would you guys give this movie? Scale of 1 to 10.
God.
Trav, we'll start with you.
Man, I'll give it a 6.5.
Do you got mail if you have to.
I'll give it a 6.5.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I'm sure I enjoyed it more the first time I saw it, but now it's just made me want to watch You've Got Mail.
A better movie.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it is. Like, I think when I first watched it, you know, I remember it was on TV, and I was like, okay, I get it. What a fun little cute little movie. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then watching it again, I'm like, I mean, I don't want to judge something for not holding up. I was like, because, I mean, times change all the time. But it's like, I don't know. Like, I really didn't like it the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 6, 5.5.
Yeah.
I don't mean, but that's just me being, I mean, now if you put me back in 1990, probably when I watched it 5 times, you know, I mean, I probably would have probably said 6 or 7. Like, oh, what a cute little movie. But now I'm just like, I don't know if I like this movie anymore.
It suffered.
It's, yeah.
You would have had more of a 7,
but I just, you know. I don't know. I wasn't in the mood when I watched it.
Yeah. I guess I'll say that. I probably wasn't in the mood, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cute romp, you know? It's light and not a lot of substance. I give it like a 5.5.
Yeah.
I'd say 5. Younger version of me probably would have said 7.
Yeah,
7.5.
I was like,
yeah. I mean, 30 years ago, sure.
They got bumped way down. Sean, had you seen this before?
Yes.
Calm down.
Could not remember in my head how they got to the Empire State Building. And I was like, am I confusing this with another movie?
Sorry, this is how I sit now.
Yeah, he's doing the Dirk Nowitzki over here holding the microphone.
Hey, I like it.
This is how I live.
No, I couldn't remember how they went from Seattle to... I knew they ended up in New York, but I didn't remember the plot enough to know how. And then I saw it again. I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Tay, you remind me of a young Adam Carolla. Him back there like that.
May he rest in peace.
But like love line, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Oh. Exactly.
Yeah.
The movie references Affair to Remember, the Cary Grant, Deborah Kerr movie from the '50s, which is cornball as hell.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. It's a soapy movie.
Which is that time frame about the same as the time frame of us watching this now?
Yes.
Huh.
That's crazy. So to the youth of today, this movie looks like that movie from the '50s. So
Christ.
Yeah. I want to hit myself over the head with a cricket bat now.
Time keeps moving on. Just marches.
Time keeps on slipping.
A wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Mm-hmm.
Into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Revved up like a deuce.
Douche.
Tomato, tomato, man.
Clamato, clamata.
I could go for a clamato right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You know, tomatoes, I have to take my Pepsi.
I put tonic water in my wine. That was a mistake.
I saw that.
I didn't know it was flavored.
No.
Well, it's not flavored. It's just tonic water.
It's got quinine in it.
That's quinine.
That's what tonic is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was quinoa. Quinoa?
Yeah.
Quinoa?
Or quishy, but it's actually quiche.
Ooh, quiche.
Yeah. Mm. I'd go for some quiche.
Wait, was that quiche tonic water?
Queef?
What's a quino?
At this point, I just want this whole thing to be edited just for one-liners. I want this whole thing edited just for one-liners, especially from Travis.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What this movie reminded me of, to a certain degree...
was You've Got Mail?
Yeah, well, yeah. And every other Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan. Joe versus Volcano, hell of a movie. I don't know if you guys saw that. Solid.
The Burbs.
Wait. I thought they had Pierce Brosnan in it.
That was Volcano.
That was just Volcano?
That was Dante's Peak.
That was Dante's Peak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Volcano is Tommy Lee Jones and Anne H.
H?
H.
I thought
we don't Harrison have Ford. Enough volcano movies. We need to get another volcano.
I was a lot there. More concerned about volcanoes.
Lord of the Rings, Taylor, Mountain Doom.
Yeah, but nothing recently.
Oh, okay.
So what this movie reminded me of from was from the 90s was My Best Friend's Wedding, where Julia Roberts,
Rupert Grint.
wasn't he the guy from Harry Potter?
That was her fake dude that she went to the wedding with, right?
Yeah, 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 the gay guy.
Yeah, Rupert Grint.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought that was a guy from Harry. Okay, anyway.
No, that is Ron from Harry Potter.
Okay. That's what I thought, too. Cool. Okay, so, yeah, and then Cameron Diaz, and then Julia Roberts' best friend from college was Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney. I get them mixed up.
Dermot?
There was a Dermot.
Dermot Mulroney. To me, they're the guys when you can't get Clooney. When it's like 1998, 99, you can't get Clooney.
He's booked.
It's like, get me Dylan McDermott.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the hell his name was.
That B-roll. B-roll Clooney.
B-roll Fozzie. B-roll. And so in that movie, Julia Roberts did some really bitchy things to try and break up the Cameron Diaz and the guy's like engagement. Mm-hmm. She did some pretty underhanded shit. And it's like, watching it then, I was like, she's the villain of this. I know she's on all the posters and she's like supposed to be the protagonist, but she's the villain. She's the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't want her to get with Dylan McDermott.
Rupert Everett. Damn it.
I could have sworn. There's not a lot of Ruperts. Mm.
I said, if she got with Ron Weasley, I would give that movie 5 stars.
Yeah.
That is across the board. That 10 points for Gryffindor.
You would have been 10 of them.
I mean, if we're talking about Julia Roberts, I prefer Notting Hill. Mm-hmm. Or Hook. She's Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Hooker Tink. With a Heart of Gold.
Or Mystic
Pretty,
Pizza.
Pretty Woman. Finish your thought, sorry.
And so this movie is like, watching this now, it's like Meg Ryan is kind of the villain of this story.
Yeah.
She's kind of the person that's keeping...
To be fair, she's not like actively trying to... I think if she took a more active role in sabotaging his relationship, maybe...
She was a passive participant.
She sabotaged her own relationship.
100%.
And for that, we can call her, you know, a douche, but...
And sabotaged Bill Pullman's happiness, too, who takes it...
Took it very well.
Artificially well. Like screenwriting. Like somebody like, oh, yeah, he needs to take this well.
He was just like, yeah, you know what? I don't want you settling. You should be with him.
Yeah. Like,
go to him.
Yeah. Like James Marsden in every movie he's in ever. Yeah. He's always, like, the other dude that's, like...
Bless his heart.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Always the bridesmaid. Whatever that James Marsden version is.
Yeah.
Always James Marsden, never Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Makes me sad.
Never Wolverine.
But yeah, maybe that's a weird adult thing now. It's like I was rooting for the wrong people as a kid in these movies.
Yeah.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with these other people, you know?
That's what I thought rewatching Die Hard. Hans Gruber?
No.
Leave Hans alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has been through enough.
He just wanted to get paid.
Yeah, he had great intentions.
Know? And best role in like 30 seconds, Clay.
Bill Clay.
I said it like Bond, James Bond. That was
Clay.
Yeah.
I mean, when you steal $600, you can just disappear. When you steal $600 million, they will find you.
Mm-hmm. They will find you.
Unless they think you're already dead. But, yeah, movie didn't age well. This probably aged the worst of any movie that we've done that I can think of for the podcast. It really did not hold up as well as I thought, you know.
I feel like we've done some other bad ones.
We have. But, I mean, we've done some bad ones that are still bad. We've done some good ones that are still pretty good. I've never seen one that I thought was really good back in the day that suffered this much where it's like, this is creepy. It doesn't age well.
Yeah.
This is bad cheese. So, if you guys got any more parting thoughts?
I love Tom Hanks, though. Yeah. I still think he's a great actor.
He's awesome.
Like, I mean, it just, like... Even at the very beginning, I'm like, wow, why is he being such a rude dick?
Yeah.
That guy. It's like, he just wants to help him. But it was like, you know, he was a good actor in this. Mm-hmm. And, man, yeah.
I said in the review, I thought there's a better movie buried underneath this where it's like, you know, a grieving dad who learns to move on. And they could have written the Meg Ryan character differently to where, you know, they get together in a different way. Maybe it's, you know, true serendipity.
Yeah.
Is it serendipity?
That's another movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is it's another one that I confused with this movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the gloves, and they find them at the end. They find the second glove, and they complete the pair. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Is it serendipity if she completely manipulates the situation, trying to make it happen? I don't think it is. Hmm. I think that's deus ex machina, deus ex megana.
You had that luck.
Yeah, you were practicing.
That was prepped.
That was pretty quick. I had that, like, you know, within the last 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
So
I'm prepping it.
But we are drinking Bow and Arrow Pinot Noir for this, which we're doing Hawkeye next. So this is actually for the next film, next TV series we're looking at. But starting with the red, I thought it was quite good for the price. $20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's a really damn good Pinot.
It's tasty. It
tastes a little bit like tonic water to me. Great value.
Travis is just adding tonic water to water.
Travis's wine is high in sodium, in case you guys are wondering.
I just wanted mine to be effer goddamn vessel.
So we're going to have to get Travis a wet towel after drinking all that quinine.
A moist towelette.
But we will see you guys shortly. We are going to do a little bit of Hawkeye.
A little bit.
Oh, we're doing the whole thing.
A little bit of Hawkeye. Yeah.
We're just going to do the last episode and the first episode, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck the in-between bullshit.
I just wanted you guys to see Mambo number 5. That was my only goal for a little bit of Tina. Anyway, so this has been Cinema Vino, and we thank you all.
Yeah. Not with a whimper, but I hope your mango's ripe.
Bye.
Bye.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.